Yeah, he knows how to get a hold of my heart, that's for sure. Don't tell Andy I said that, okay? Right. It's recorded. John chapter 17 this morning. Some of our folks that get away for the winter down to warmer climes like Arizona, those places, stopped me today and said, well, we were gone for 5 months, but we didn't miss much. And you haven't traveled too far in the book of John, so we haven't. John 17, we're going to start in verse 9 this morning. Jesus and his Father are talking. Have you got a hold of that yet? Jesus and his Father are talking. We get to listen in. And they are talking about some very, very important, precious things. So Jesus continues to pray. Let's listen in this morning in verse 9. Jesus says to his Father, he said, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, yours are mine. And I'm glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. Which would be the disciples, the 11 he's talking about, okay? That they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction. That'd be Judas, of course. And he was lost so that the scripture might be fulfilled. We're going to look this morning at something that, to say the least, is a little bit controversial. Okay? And you might have a problem with that, except it's coming from Jesus himself. So how can it be controversial? We're going to look this morning at security of the believer. Not because that's a age-old Baptist belief. No. Lay that aside. It's because of what Jesus said here. That's why we're going to look at it today. If it wasn't here, we wouldn't be dealing with it. So as he continues to pray in the first five verses of the Lord's Prayer, sometimes it's called the High Priestly Prayer, John 17, the first five verses, he addresses some concerns and issues just between him and his Father. He talks about to the Father, he said, glorify your Son. He says to the Father, the hour has come, that hour that he's going to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That hour that was on the calendar of heaven from time before time started is now just a few minutes in front of Jesus. He talks to him also about that the Son may glorify you. He says in those first five verses, you have given me authority over all flesh to give eternal life. And then he looks to the past and longs for the future when he would be in your presence, he said to the Father. Closes verse 5 and he says, return me to the glory I had with you before the world existed. Do you get that? The Father and the Son, just the two of them. And it's homecoming time. Jesus has been here for 33 years and he wants to be with his Father. In verse 6 then, there's a switch, a transition in Jesus praying, and it's no longer between him and the Father, but now Jesus is focusing on, the Scripture says, the people you gave me out of the world. So he moves from that fellowship relationship that he has with the Father, and he focuses on people. The people that you gave me out of the world. And he says very matter-of-factly in verse 9, if you saw that, he said, I am praying for them. Now, we know the them, of course, was the 11. But you also know, as I've tried, I hope by now you got it memorized, in verse 20, he said, I do not ask for these only, these 11 that are right here with me, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me, if we have believed. Okay? And so he said, I am praying for them, the people you gave me out of the world. And so this morning we come to that controversial issue of security of the believer. That's what it's called commonly. You've no doubt heard it, okay? It's not a Baptist thing, folks. It's a Bible thing. And Jesus is driving home that point today. Most of Christendom, that would be everything that's not Muslim, Buddha, atheist, agnostic, everything else, okay? Most of Christendom, about 2 billion quote-unquote Christians in the world today, okay? Most of Christendom believes that you can lose his salvation. But they say, lose my salvation. That probably is the issue right there. It's his salvation, not ours. But whether it be Catholic or any of the different Protestant groups, etc., most would believe that you can be saved one day and lost the next. I want you to leave this morning after we listen to what Jesus is saying to his Father and see if you can support that. Let's look first of all this morning at who are those who are secure in God. If there is security in Him, meaning that once His salvation comes into your life, can you lose it? Who are those who are secure in God? Again, it's them. He said, I'm praying for them. Now, them are disciples. Oh, who's a disciple? A disciple, Jesus said, is if any man will come after me. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, die to himself, and follow me. That is a disciple. That's what these 11 did. And every disciple from this group down to 2016, what is today, Chuck? The 10th of April. Anyone who has done that are disciples, his followers. And he's saying here, again, I am praying for them. Them are disciples. More completely, Jesus has said here in his language, the people whom you gave me out of the world, that's the them. Those whom I have given the words, we looked at that last week, that's them. The ones you gave me, that's them. The ones who received the words, Jesus said, that's them. Those who have come to know in truth that I came from you, that's them. And those who have believed that you sent me. He said, those are the people that I'm praying for right now. So there are two groups, right? Disciples and the world. That's it. No in-betweeners. Two groups, because you see, all disciples have been called out of the world. He said so. They have been called out of the world. So you and I, when we were born into the world with a fallen nature, the nature of Adam, born into sin. And then when he called us, we became a disciple, a follower. So there are two groups, disciples and the world. Disciples were given to him, verse 6, out of the world. Given to him by the Father, out of the world. Disciples were given the words, we looked at last week. In verse 9, he said, disciples, them are yours. And Jesus matter-of-factly says, I am praying for them, disciples. Hang on to that, okay? Understand with certainty this morning, there is absolute security for anyone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Absolute security, guaranteed by Jesus Christ Himself, sealed by His Father. For He said, for they are yours. You can't get any more secure than that, folks. That's as secure as you can get. Well, Jesus, just as matter-of-factly says, you read it, probably a little bit of cringing going on around you, okay? I am not praying for the world. That bother you? God the Son, speaking to His Father, not news to the Father. He said, Father, I am praying for them, disciples, those that You've given Me out of the world. But He said, I am not praying for the world. Does that bother you? You think, can He say that? Should He say that? Listen, He is not praying for the world in what we know as John 17. Listen, that is reserved for those He has called out of the world, the disciples. For before He ascends to heaven, He's going to say to the 11 and to every disciple from that day down till this one, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not praying for the world today, and you'll see why in just a minute. He's praying for the disciples, but the disciples are going to be charged with doing what He's not doing in this prayer. Praying for, taking the gospel to the world so that those who are yet to believe will believe. That's a sobering thought. I know a lot of you here today. Some of you I know a little better than others. Some of you I've met for the first time today. But surely in a group this large, there are some who are still yet to believe, still in the world. Pause there for a moment when He said, I'm not praying for the world. What a horrifying thought. Jesus is not praying or interceding for you if you are still in the world and have not believed. I mean, folks, that's about as horrifying a thought as I can have. If you have not been called out of the world, He's not praying for you today. In fact, what this means is you have no intercessor. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for disciples. But He is not praying or interceding for those who are yet to believe. There's no hope. You're on your own. No direction. Nothing works together for good in your life. Life is chaos. You're careening through this life without purpose, without hope. All you're guaranteed of if you are yet to believe, all you are guaranteed of is the moment that you are. That's it. And finally, there's that understanding that the chaos of this life going to give way to the damnation of hell. You say, man, couldn't you be a little lighter? I can't. I didn't make this up. I'm a human being. I like to be liked. But this is what He is saying. It is His will that none perish, but all come to repentance. And folks, better to deal with this up front and matter-of-factly as Jesus was here than for us to fool around and miss so great a salvation. so that He would say of you, I'm praying for them, and that includes you. Understand this morning, there is no security for those who are still in the world. Yet He is calling you today. Your presence here, the fact that you got up this morning on a sort of kind of rainy morning and drove maybe some distance to get here, maybe got your family together and came here, the fact that you did that is evidence that He's calling you and that He wants to include you into those He's praying for and interceding for even now. God affirms that to be them, the ones He's praying for, I'm praying for them, to be them, you got to believe in Him. Well, that's who Jesus is saying are part of those who are secure. Second this morning, what's He praying for them? Them being the disciples. What's He praying? Those that He has been given from the Father. He said to the Father, He says, what is mine is yours, what's yours is mine. We're in this together. This is God the Father, God the Son. It's a family deal. And we're sharing in those that You have given me. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. And in verse 10 He says, Jesus is praying, listen, that they bring Him glory. I am glorified in them, He says in verse 10. Now, if you let your mind wander just a little bit, you think, good land. That's arrogant. That's self-focused. No. You're missing, okay? When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and their sins are forgiven, and they become a disciple, a follower, one who denies, dies, and follows, that brings Him great glory because His creation is returned to that state that it was before sin came into the picture. And He is glorified by that. Why did He and the Father and the Holy Spirit, why did they speak into existence all that is? For His glory, and folks, I'd be a little bit careful about being critical there, because He's God. And if He wants to glorify Himself, He will glorify Himself. All right? He is not on the economy that you and I are on. We are loved by Him, and He has introduced us to His grace through His Son's shed blood. He is God. And He has determined that He will be glorified by those who become holy like He is holy. That's you and me if you are in Christ Jesus. I'm praying for them because they're called out of the world. And then he kind of just pauses and he said, I'm leaving. He's talking to the Father, you know? It's kind of like you say, hey, I'm coming this weekend, all right? And He said, I'm leaving. I'm out of here, the kids would say. But they are still going to be here. They, that's disciples. He's going to the Father in about 41 or 2 days from now. When He's saying this, but He said they are still going to live in the context of the world. They're still going to be in the world. And we are. You see, the world, remember, is that composite of Satan and his demonic hordes and the fallen nature of billions of people. That system is what He's talking about here. That's the world system. And He said, they are still going to live in the context of this world. I'm praying for them. Because I'm not going to be here. I'm coming to you. but they're still in the world. Do you get the idea that Jesus is sensing that this is going to be a dangerous place for disciples? Do you get the idea of that? The scripture tells us, in part, it says, Satan is a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. I heard somebody say one time, well, just, you know, you don't get too excited about that because Satan's a roaring lion, and roaring lions are the only lions that don't have teeth, and they all they can do is roar. I don't know who dreamed that up. I'm telling you, if a roaring lion can you devour you, he can gum you or chew you, one, but he's going to devour you. Don't ever look at him as being some patsy. He's powerful. And the scripture tells us he's seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said himself over in John 10, the thief, same one, same as the lion, the thief seeks to kill, steal, and to destroy. You. Me. And then there's unredeemed humanity, who are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This is a dangerous place. And Jesus knew it. And he said, that's why I'm praying for them. I'm leaving this world. They're staying in. I had a humbling's not good enough. Frightening. Gets a little closer. Thought when I got to this part of my study this week, I'll just share it with you. You know what ISIS is? ISIL, Islamic State. Okay, you know? All right. We know from media accounts, I haven't watched any of them. I'm not going to. I don't know if you have or not, but you can go out online and get the videos of some of the carnage that those people have been about for months and months and months now. The beheadings and all that kind of thing. Here's the thought that I had. ISIS is the experiential potential for every unredeemed individual. Every person who is unredeemed, not redeemed, not born again, has the same potential as those people in the Middle East and Europe and the United States as ISIS, ISIL, or the Islamic State. Same potential, because both have a fallen nature. Now, folks, I kind of woke up after I thought that, and I thought, oh, my goodness. It is a dangerous place. And folks, it is more and more dangerous to me, at least. Maybe it hasn't always been, but it's dangerous. I don't think there's ever been a time when it wasn't dangerous. Jesus knew that. And he knew that he had to pray for them because he's leaving. Did you know most of these, of this 11, some died just a year or two after Jesus was praying? Martyred. You can read over in Hebrews how some of the other believers of those early years, what happened to them. But of these disciples that are with him right now, 10 of the 11 are going to die horrible deaths. Crucified upside down, beheaded, and on we go. Only John died of old age on the island of Patmos. He probably was about 90 years old. Most of these 11 here died within a few years. Jesus knew it was a dangerous place, and he was leaving them, and so he's asking his Father to take care of them. And here's what he says. I am praying that you, Father, okay, Jesus talking to his Father, I am praying that you keep them. Notice something here. Keep them in your name. That's worth stopping for. Did you see that? I'm praying that you keep them in your name. In John 17:6, Jesus has already said in this prayer, I have manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. I've told them who you are. That occurred in the Old Testament for you that would remember that. There's another guy that wanted to know God's name as well, Moses, there at the burning bush. Moses is 80 years old. So some of us need to chill out. It's the best years are coming. At 80 years of age, he's out there on the backside of the desert. He's in retirement mode. He was in the palace of Egypt, if it was a palace, the best the world had to offer. That's where he lived the first 40 years of his life. Then he made a mistake. He killed a guy, ran for his life. Now he's on the backside of the desert, been there for 40 years, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. God appeared him into the burning bush. Moses was exactly where God wanted him to be. I don't know where you are or if you're satisfied with where you are, but I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you're exactly where he wants you to be now. Quit living in the future. You are where he wants you to be, and if you weren't be here, you'd be there, and he'd put you there when he's ready. Moses is out there. Backside of the desert, bush is burning. Kind of got his attention. He said, I'm going to go over there and see what this is all about. God will put a burning bush in your life, in my life as well, when he wants to get our attention. I don't know what your burning bush is going to look like. I don't know what mine is going to look like. I know what some have looked like. But he'll put a burning bush out there for you. And so Moses went over and he drew near. And God spoke to him and he said, I want you to go back to Egypt and get my people, about a million or so. They're in bondage of Egypt for 400 years. Another Moses lesson. Don't get in a hurry. God works on his calendar, not yours. And he left those people for 400 years in Egypt. And think of the number, the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who were born, lived, and died in the bondage of Egypt. And we've got this mentality in this country that we've got to have it now. And I just have to name it and claim it. Compare yourself to the Israelites, God's covenant people, 400 years. Hundreds of thousands, maybe a few million of them, were born, lived, and died, and never saw the land of promise. Now is his time. He always operates on his time. And he said to Moses, he said, go get my people. And Moses, as you remember, got a little bit argumentative with God. But I can't. What if they, you know, that kind of thing. All right? And then he says this. He said, who shall I say sent me? Oh. And God said, you tell him I am sent you. That's big. That's his name. I am. I am sent you. And if you've been paying close attention in the book of John, the Gospel of John, seven times Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. And four other times, I am, I am, I am. Now what he's saying is, Father, keep them in your name. The name of God, as other names in the Bible, reveal the nature of the person who's named that. Keep them in your name, those that you have given me. While I was with them, I kept them how? In your name. Now I'm leaving, keep them still in your name. Keep them in your nature. Keep them in the strong name that is above every name. I am is not only willing to keep you, friend, he is able to keep you. Because he is I am. So the them that he's praying for are kept by the very nature of God. God's nature, love, full of mercy, full of grace, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. The nature of I am keeps you secure in Him if you're one of them, those He's praying for. Not only is He willing, He's able to keep you. And we close this morning. When does this security exist? When does it exist? First of all, Jesus said, I kept them while I was with them in your name. I guarded them, He said. I guess Jesus, of course, could see all the stuff that was going to wreck those guys' lives. All those things that the enemy was trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He saw it all. And He said, I guarded them. Look over at your right shoulder. Look over at your left shoulder. He's guarding you too. Yeah. We're disciples. They're disciples. He's praying for us. He said, while I was with them, I guarded them. He's with us now. Right? Folks, He's got your back. Nothing comes into your life, disciple, unless He plans it or He permits it. You think, hey, that's pretty heavy. I know. But He does. Because I look across this congregation and I see some folks, hey, you got to know. Yes. He's guarding you. He's keeping you. By the strong name of His Father, He's keeping you. Now Jesus is going to ascend to the Father in 41 or 2 days. When He's gone, the disciples, the 11, and we who believe based on their word, we now are kept in the name of the Father. The disciples and we are covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that's going to be poured out on Calvary in just a few hours. The disciples and we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit that we're going to be introduced to a little bit later here in John. We've already been introduced a little bit to Him. So kept in the name of the Father, covered by the shed blood of Jesus, and indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, none of which can be reversed or negated. You show me somebody that can change God's name. You show me somebody that can wipe up the blood that fell from Jesus' body on the cross of Calvary for you and me. You show me somebody who can kick the Holy Spirit out of any life in whom He dwells. And I'll show you a person who can lose their salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In fact, about this time, I grew weary of this language, security of the believer. Instead, I opted for security in Him. That may not mean anything to you, but it changed a lot for me. Because anytime you inject the believer in, there seems to be a foothold how I can, you know, no. If we're secure in Him, our hands are bowed, tied behind our back, okay? We have no game. There's no way we can get out of His love once He puts us into His love. Security in Him. We have no part in our security except to abide. You see, you don't have to work at it. If you're in Christ Jesus, you will work as He gives you direction to. But you can't work enough to stay in or get in. Isn't that releasing? Isn't that freeing? Amen, Kelly. Not over here saying, well, I had 4 bads today. I better get some goods over here. Hey, Chuck, how you doing? That's a good. I marked that one off. Yeah. Are you serious? To be free in Christ means that we're free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin and the presence of sin. And we're free from that works-oriented mentality that harasses most people who fly under the banner of Christendom. You didn't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to keep it. It was from Him and we're kept by Him. It's all His salvation, folks. Secure for all eternity, even through death's doorway. Secure, kept by His power and authority. Kept in His presence for all eternity, which began when you first believed. Would the Father give the Son a gift that wouldn't last? That's what He said, okay? The Father gave Him those who believe. Would the Father give His Son, knowing a little bit now what we know about this relationship and fellowship, would the Father give the Son a gift that wouldn't last? Kind of like those toys that, you know, at Christmas. They play with them for maybe Christmas Day and they break that night or something. You know? No. The Father will not give the Son something that will not last. Only that which will last for eternity. Gift. Gift to the Son. That's what you and I are. If those He has given glorify Jesus, would Jesus not be glorified if they could lose what got them there? Do you see how ridiculous this sounds from God's perspective? We are kept for His glory. You see, we're kept by God, not by our conduct, our analysis, or our feelings. And I'll close with this. Tammy brought rows full of little ones in here today. All right? They were studying the temple, and so she wanted them kind of good teaching, okay? And she wanted to show, you know, what goes on in here, you know, worship God, okay? And so they sat down. I think every chair was full, okay? And hands started going up, okay? One little guy said, I'm four. Then said, I'm five. The guy said, I'm three. You know, he was all bummed out. Okay, they've got problems too, I guess, okay? And so they're just wild. I love kids. I love to watch kids. And I spent most of my career trying to teach folks how kids learn and develop. Man, it's a hoot, okay? I love these kids, okay? And I'll notice when they're about two or three, give or take, okay? Usually brothers and sisters, they say, you can't do that. Mama said so, you can't do that. Or Daddy said you can't do it. Daddy said so, you can't do that. That kind of deal. I see some mamas grinning, they know that, okay? Then they go to school. In kindergarten, first grade or so, they'll say, the teacher said you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Teacher said so. Folks, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are secure, come what may, for all eternity, because my Father said so. Let's pray. Oh, indeed you did, Heavenly Father. Indeed you did. Kept for your Son's glory for all eternity. Kept by the power and authority of your name. And there's no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. Father, I don't know why there's been such controversy through the centuries about this issue. I don't know why so many have romped and stomped around, and I don't. It just seems so idiotic to me. put in the context of your ability to keep what you say you're going to keep, how anybody could get to a place of thinking they could lose it when it's not theirs? I pray this morning, Father, that each person in one of these chairs who has believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and abide in you, Father, would regain that confidence that you're not going to leave them and they can't leave you. And Father, for those who are yet here this morning who are yet to believe, oh Father, don't let them flirt with another minute in this world, as dangerous as it is. But Father, that they would grab hold of that which you want to do in their life. Forgive them of all the sins that they have committed, past, present, and future. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the abundant life now, eternal life when they die, because you love them. Help them to see that today. Open their eyes, I pray. Father, I pray that as we leave here this morning, we leave here rejoicing because we are secure. We are secure in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brandon, you got a